Welcome. This is Efrat Sabalevsky from YU Connects, happy to introduce Candidate, a candid conversation about today's dating life with experienced guests. Our wonderful host this evening is Rabbi Shmuel Ismach, Rabbi of Young Israel of Great Neck and Rebbe in the Stone-based Medrash program at Yeshiva University. This podcast is anonymously sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas Chanoch Chaim Ben Yaakov HaKohen.
Hello and welcome to Candidate, a candid conversation about dating and relationships with experts in the field. My name is Shmuel Ismach, rabbi at the Young Israel of Great Neck and a rebbe in the SBMP program at Yeshiva University. I am joined today by Eliza Ben Shalom. She's a professional dating coach, an in-demand speaker, an expert, and author of the new book, Virtual Dating, Your Guide to Relationships in a Socially Distanced World. She's also written Get Real, Get Married, Your Guide to Get Over Your Hurdles and Under Your Chuppah. She's the founder of the company Marriage Minded Mentor, which connects singles from around the world with dating coaches, guiding singles through the steps to become engaged regardless of age, affiliation, or stage in life. She trains dating coaches and matchmakers and has helped hundreds of singles. And we look forward to all of the people who she will be helping through this podcast. So one of the things, first of all, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. I know it's really late. This is a cross-continental podcast. So we always are very grateful for those who are willing to come on. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So you seem to have found the perfect moment, the perfectly timed book about shidduchim, dating generally, virtually. So talk a little bit about how this book happened and how you, I guess, had the foresight to realize that this would be such an important issue in this particular moment.
So COVID hit, you know, March of 2020. The whole world went on pause. And shidduchim, people just, everything shut down. Matchmakers didn't want to make matches. They weren't allowed to make matches. People didn't know what to do. The events, all I had events lined up through March and April. And like we were planning out the rest of the summer. And all of a sudden, everything got canceled. There was like this panic in the world of singles. And we all took a pause. And basically from, you know, March until after Pesach, it was like, what's going to be, right? Oh, is it a little virus thing? Is it going to just like go away? Or is this really a thing? And after Pesach, it became clear that, you know, as we went from, you know, green to yellow to red, to, you know, schools shut down and nothing's opening up, we said, okay, wait a minute, this is a real thing. Travel is starting to be restricted. Singles can't go anywhere. We're starting to have a lot of problems. And what are we going to do about it? And I had this aha moment. There's a difference between online dating, virtual dating, long distance dating. They're not the same thing, although there's an umbrella of things being at a distance. But to me, virtual dating is literally just virtually dating. I don't know when I'm going to meet you in person. I don't know how. I don't know where. It might never happen, right? Like I'm talking to you and planes are shut down. This is a virtual relationship. And it's not just long distance. Long distance, I know I'm going to see you. You live far, but I'm going to get on a plane. I could come tomorrow if I wanted. But virtual dating, you can't. It's virtual. It's a virtual relationship that exists through technology. So I said, we have to do something about this. And I started doing webinars. And I've been doing webinars for an entire year. I think we have over 40 webinars. And I was doing them on a weekly basis. And I was like, it's not enough. Like people need to know, how are we going to build a relationship in this time of crisis? So I wrote this book that is essentially the guide to relationships in a socially distanced world. And I was in a panic to get the book out. I started the writing process in May. I had a whole team that was helping me. And in my head, I'm thinking, what if this is over by August? The book won't even be done being written, and it's going to come out, and there's going to be like, it's not going to be even relevant.
It could have been the next pandemic. I mean, that would.
Right. Right, it's fine. I could wait a year and release it when there's another one, right?
Or a century, you know, whatever.
However long. I think everything's coming a little faster, so I don't think we're going to get away with a century anymore. But you know, I'm not a prophetess in that area.
So you got, so anyway, you got the book out.
Came out in September.
Before, I'm just curious from the title, like, did anybody suggest a different title, like, really Shomer Nagia? Like, did that come up as a possibility? No. Okay.
No, but we do address the fact that even if you don't want to be Shomer Nagia, this was the perfect time to take that on and give it a shot because you don't really have a choice.
Okay. So
people wouldn't even see their smile. Forget about touching. There's no, right. I can't even look at your face.
Right. So let's break this down. You know, I would say, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. So online dating became a thing, but that's usually like meeting people online and sort of going through profiles, and online is the intermediary of like the shadchan and the matchmaker. But now we're talking about virtual dating where I'm not really dating and I'm not really with the person. And so I'm missing like a lot of the physical cues. I don't have a three-dimensional experience. It's a two-dimensional experience. So forget about what I'm even missing visually. Describe how that is different between the in-person date. What am I missing? What am I losing out on other than just, I guess, the full body picture?
You're also losing out on seeing how they interact with other people. Or interact with the world, right? If you get in a car with somebody to go drive somewhere, you see how they drive. You go into a restaurant, you see how they interact with the staff. Or if you walk by a homeless person on the street, right? You understand things about people when they are functioning and in the world with you. So there's downsides that come to this. And there's a certain other negative, which is there's a certain intimacy that happens when I'm not with you in person. I'm in my own room. I'm comfortable. I'm in my own space. People, the running joke of the pandemic was like, you can only see me from, you know, mid-level up. I'm wearing pajamas. You don't even know, right? I'm so comfortable that the physical comfort also brought about sometimes an emotional comfort. And then people became very close and they didn't even know each other. So it could be a matter of 4 or 6 weeks. And I feel like I know you inside out. I'm so connected. There's just something happening. We have this magic that happens over the phone or over video. And there's just something there. And I've never seen you in person. And so there's this false sense of connection or false sense of intimacy. And then the opposite is also true. We meet virtually like this. And I don't think I like you. I'm not sure. I mean, our values are in line. There's some things, but like I'm missing so much and I'm not good at reading people virtually and video isn't enough for me. And so I don't know. It's not enough that's convincing and it's virtual and hey, I'm probably not going to meet you. I think I'll just pass next. And it's very easy. It's, you know, swiping was easy, right? Yes, no, yes, no. Now it's like a video date. You won't know if I'm going out with somebody else because there's no restaurant to be seen in. Okay, next, let's go talk to somebody else.
Right. There's a waiting room. You know, you have a waiting room on the Zoom that has like four other guys who are waiting to come in. So let's talk about, so how do you overcome these challenges, right? So let's imagine two people are set up and it's going to begin virtually, right? And they don't have a choice. Let's imagine, and I want to get to in a moment, whether or not there might be a preferred situation in which like maybe Zoom or virtual is a good idea. But let's imagine you have no choice and you're stuck doing the virtual thing. And so how do you go about transitioning this relationship from virtual to real, or what should be the expectations?
So going from virtual to real first is just technical challenges. Can one of us get on a plane, drive, come, go, whatever the situation is? Even if we live in the same city, you know, are you comfortable to go outside of your house? People, when they say they were in lockdown, they didn't even leave their house. And then when they went out, they had a mask on. And then it was winter. And so I have a jacket on, I have a mask on. I happen to be in person with you, but I don't really feel like I'm in person. We can't go sit down anywhere and we can't do anything. And so even though I'm with you, I don't actually feel like I'm with you. So there's certain technical challenges that we face. And then some of the challenges are, I want to transition from virtual to in-person, but I can't because my state is still closed or my country is still closed and we're not allowed in or out. And then the question is, so how long do I date you virtually? If I think I like you, but I don't really know if there's potential because we can't meet. And I used to have a rule of thumb for long distance dating. There was ideal. Ideally, don't go out more than 3 weeks. Like, don't talk for more than 3 weeks and connect without making a plan to meet within 3 to 4 weeks. It's ideal. Then we started to double the timeline for COVID and say, okay, you know what? You could talk for 6 weeks and then really we want you to meet. 6 weeks, a month and a half. We're going to talk for a month and a half. I'm not going to meet you. Maybe I'm talking to other people. Maybe I decide I'm a one person kind of gal and I'm only going to talk to you, or I'm a one person kind of guy. 6 weeks? 6 weeks is an extremely long time to devote to somebody that you've never actually met. And then some people, even at the 6 week mark, they still couldn't get in person. And so then it was like, okay, you know what? Let's put this shit on hold. We'll revisit when your country is open or when your state is available or when you're comfortable to get on a plane. So we kind of hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And then the people that were finally able to meet, it was this big, exciting thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to meet. And like, oh, we have such a chemistry. And the level of either excitement or nervousness or what is anxiety, stress was so high that there was only where to go but down, right? You knew that the shit was going to crash and burn on the first meeting. And I had to prep people. Listen, the first meeting, it might not go so well. Totally normal. Don't worry about that. It's okay. Let's go out a couple of times. If you're traveling long distance, stay in town longer because we don't know what's happening with the pandemic. Give yourselves time to relate to each other in person. And you have to kind of think of it like a first date because we never had a first in-person date. So I know you intimately. I know details about you and your family and your history and your skeletons in the closet, but I actually never met you. So surprise, our you know, eighth date is really our first date again. And so we started to prep people.
This used to be an issue. I remember early on with online communication through texting. And you mentioned this before, through texting and through certain types of connections, which were not real. There was sort of like people were more candid or people were more open, almost at a really artificial level. Like not the type of thing they would say to actually a real person, but they would type it or they would text it. Or they would say it over the phone. Is there any difference you find between like the video connection? Is it better than just typing or texting or on the phone? Is the video like an elevated expression, or it's really just not there? Like it's not the same thing as in person, and it's drastically different in the same silo as all those other methods of communication. Like where is video?
Right. I think the other methods of communication, when you're on the phone or you're texting, you're hidden. Like it's like secretive a little bit. So a little bit of the real me can maybe sneak in and come out because you don't see me. And it feels a little more hidden. And somehow that allows us to reveal who we are or what we want to say a little bit more. When you move to video, so unless you're a professional actor or actress or you've had experience being in front of a camera, most people are pretty boring. They sit there. They don't move. They get a little bit frozen. They're very stiff. They hardly move their head. They might not move their mouth. They might not move their hands. There's this deer in headlights and then the lighting. I just want to see your face, right? You don't have, no. Your back can't be to the window. Your face has to be the window. I don't care if your computer faces the other way in your room. Your face is black and now I can't see anything because it's dark and shadowed. And I can't, like, thanks for the video, but I can't even feel like I'm getting a sense of you. It's almost more trouble than it's worth. So video kind of upped the ante because I feel like I'm in person with you, but you're not behaving like you would in person. And so it became a little bit weird. The other challenge is people who hold their camera and they don't, or their computer or whatever they have, or they sit in their car or they drive while they're talking to you, or the camera's jiggling and you want to vomit because you just can't have a straight picture. And so it's not that I don't like you. It's that I can't stand looking at you while this camera is moving, or the bad angle where it's like down and it's looking up your nose at your double chin. And it's like horrible for facial features. It doesn't do anything to accentuate how you look. But people don't know it because they're not professional cameramen. They're not professional actors. And being on camera is a skill. And so phone, I think, sometimes is better. People can you know, sit down, even lay on their couch, close their eyes, take a deep breath, have a glass of wine, something to relax them, and they can have a conversation. And if the conversation goes well, okay, so we could progress to video. But we hit the modern era. It's like, no, I just want to see your face. I just want to see how you look, right? Because I'm going to know in a minute if I like you. And if I don't like you, like, that's it. We're going to move on, right? But I don't know you enough to like you.
I'm thinking, did you have like virtual backgrounds in the book that you would recommend? Like maybe a hotel lobby, which, you know, you would put behind the person, or some sort of like Wolf and Lamb. I don't know. It's a classic, you know, date. So I guess you would not want virtual, because you'd want, you know, your messy background would also be instructive, or your...
Okay, so virtual backgrounds is like a whole topic. And when you put a virtual background, you know about like the disappearing body parts, like as you move, all of a sudden your arm is cut off and you have a floating hand or even your head, and it just starts to look a little bit bizarre. And then you wonder, what are they hiding? Is their room, are they a hoarder? Is their room horribly messy? Is that why they're doing it? You know, do they not have any decorations? Is it something that they wouldn't want me to see? And so like, then on top of having to be an actor and a cameraman, now you have to be an interior decorator and a designer to set up your set so that you look good on camera with another human being and you're ready for everything. So I'm not a huge fan of virtual backgrounds, but if your background is horribly messy, then I'd rather floating, disappearing body parts with a virtual background than your messy background.
So let me ask you this. Sometimes, like you said, a person decides in a moment whether or not they want to continue this because of the visuals or because of like an immediate sense of attraction. I feel like if done right, a person on a virtual date maybe is able to do better than they would be able to do on an in-person date. And that offers the opportunity to really get to know the person without some of those superficial things getting in the way. Like, might it be said that that's a positive of virtual dating?
Most people would probably not agree. I think because most people struggle with virtual dating. Again, unless you love the camera and you've got a bubbly personality where making conversation is so easy for you and connecting with people and you're curious about them and you just love asking questions and you know the balance between talking and listening and you can get it just right. If you're one of those people, which is more rare, it's just difficult to find somebody who has all of these skills combined in one. I think that virtual dating is extremely difficult. I think a lot of people got better at it because we were good at online dating. We were good at long distance dating. We've been doing that for a while. We just never did the, I have to connect with you and stick with you, and I don't know when I'm going to see you. I had couples that couldn't meet for, it was 3 months, 4 months. And my recommendation was put it on pause, right? In general, I don't like to put a shit up on pause. I like it to continue. I like to go to the end. Yes or no. If you're not clear, when in doubt, go out, date them till you hate them. I've got a few catchphrases that I like people to follow.
Yeah, and a lot of bumper stickers. Got it. Yeah.
Great bumper stickers. And it's easy. It's easy to remember. Like, I don't know, Elise, I'm not sure. You get on the phone. I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be. I don't want to marry them. I said, I don't need you to marry them. Are they repulsive? No. Is it definitely not for you? No. Is it definitely a no? No. Okay. It's a yes for now. It's a yes for now. But it's hard. Virtually, it's not a yes for now. Virtually, pause, right? We're virtual. Great. We've got pause. We've got a pause button. Come back to the shit up when you can actually meet in person.
Right, right. These buttons are really helpful. They joke that in shuls, yeah, every rabbi wants a mute button, and every congregant wants a leave now button. Everybody, you know, everybody's got their button that we could take into the real world. Let me ask you a question, because this came up in a conversation. Is there a, you know, two people get together, let's say they're masked. So is there, I don't know, how does that work when it comes to attraction, when it comes to knowing what a person looks like? Do they unmask for a minute? Like, I don't know what the protocols are. And hopefully this is less of a conversation and should be less relevant going forward now that the world seems to be coming back to normal. But do you think that there was an element of that where a person wouldn't necessarily see a person and they develop an attraction and then, you know, the mask comes off and I don't know, hey, you know, they connected with where maybe superficially, once again, they would never have.
Yes. And it has worked both ways, where I like what I saw beforehand. I can't see anything. And maybe in person, it wasn't as good as I thought it was on video for whatever reason. But hey, you were masked. And now we became really close. And then finally, the mask came off. And it was like a little shock. But I already like you enough that I'm willing to keep going because there's enough there. And the opposite was also true, which was, I can't see your face. I don't know if I like you. And if I stand 10 feet apart, you know, 6 feet wasn't good enough for some couples. They wanted to be 10 feet apart. Now I can't see you. And if I don't have great vision, I can't see you. I can't hear you. The whole thing just wasn't working. And people also, when you're wearing the mask wasn't just a physical mask. Anybody who was in a mask that couldn't take it off, even when they took it off, they were just uncomfortable. So they wouldn't even smile. So you got to see their face, but it wasn't a happy one because they were so uncomfortable and so afraid of what would happen if they took the mask off. Now I can't even smile on a date. So it didn't even do them any good to take it off because I just saw your sour face and you look really uncomfortable. And I think I should take you home. Maybe you want to get back in your car and we'll just talk on the phone through the window, right? Like it just... By the way, there was at one point car dates. Do you know about this? Where they lined up the guys and the girls and one was going in one direction and one was going in the other. And they would pass with the driver's windows rolled down and then they would rotate. And it was a speed dating car passing event.
And I guess if you're not interested, you just actually speed and then you just go faster.
Yeah. You kind of got stuck in the line. It's the same thing like speed dating. You still have to go through the process.
Yeah, then they have a speed limit dating. Whatever. I could see this getting very, very elaborate. Okay, so let's flip it around. So imagine the relationships. So we've talked about the caution that we should have if it begins virtually. But let's say they start to date, right? And let's say there's a connection. They're dating in person, I should say. They're dating in person, and then it turns virtual. At that point, do we trust it more? At that point, is it safer to rely on the dating experience once they've been together? Or still, is there something about the in-person which cannot replace the long distance?
It's a little safer if they've met at least once. It's more safer if they've met at least five times. It becomes increasingly safer once we get to certain numbers. And the challenge is, can they keep it going? Because after I've met you 10 times, I like you, you like me, there's something, and now we can't see each other. Either there's going to be one of those longing, long distance relationships, like a little bit of a romance, you know, like in the olden days, they would go to war and they would write love letters, right? And there would be this longing to see somebody, or they just get frustrated with the process. Like I saw you and I liked you in person, but like all this phone, like I'm not a phone person. I'm not a video person. I could date you in person and I really like you and I'd really like to, but this whole COVID dating thing, like virtual dating, it's not for me. I don't know. I don't know if I like you anymore. So it's definitely better than having never met. And some couples successfully transitioned into it. There were other couples that sped up the process. They're like, you know what? I liked you in person. Now we've been dating virtually. I like you enough virtually. It like must speak, Dayenu, let's just get married. And you know, one of those shotgun weddings.
They get engaged on Zoom? Is that like a thing?
They didn't get engaged on Zoom, but they would introduce each other to each other's parents on Zoom.
I was at a wedding yesterday where to no fault, it was just impossible to communicate that the parents did not meet until the Ufruf.
Yes.
Person. It was only on Zoom. And I'm pretty sure the parents did not meet. Did they meet the Kala firsthand? I don't remember. But I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Correct.
You
have to think about the age. Some of the parents at certain ages, and if they hadn't felt like they were protected enough, they were not meeting anybody. No, people were not leaving their house for a year. I met people, they said, I just came out of my house after a year of isolation. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't have anybody in. I didn't go out. Food was delivered. I didn't want to interact with the world until it was a safe place to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Does that longing that you mentioned before, that like sort of romanticizing the relationship even further, maybe push the pedal on getting things to happen faster artificially than they should? Is that a thing? Like, you know, Romeo and Juliet, every relationship is just separated by walls and by plastic and by masks. And, you know, we'll we'll figure it out together. Does that happen as well? There's so much artifice over here. Like, I'm having a hard time remembering what's real and the way things ought to go. I guess my question is, and you've said this already, but my question is, so now what? I mean, how do we trust any of this? Or should the framework be, it's not normal, and constantly be pressing pause on where you're at and what you're feeling, because this is not the way human beings usually do this. And therefore, there are all sorts of hurdles and all sorts of, it's a minefield. So what's your advice? Like, just I guess if you had to summarize it.
If there's a nice connection in person and then we go virtual, or the other way, we are virtual and then we go in person. But if there's really something that's happening there, and normally you were thinking, I'd wait a little longer to get engaged, but wow, I really think I like this person. I've seen them enough. I know them enough. And the other factor that we didn't factor in is loneliness, all time high right now. It is so high, and everybody is extremely motivated, A, not to live alone, or B, if they move back in with their parents, to get out as fast as possible and to have their own place again. And so if there is something there, I don't think that it's this romantic notion. I think in Shidduchim, people are clear. We're dating based on values. We have to have so many things align, families and hashkafa and backgrounds and who you are and where you want to send your kids to school and what you want to do with the rest of your life and how you want to lead it. We're such a values-based dating community that I'm not afraid that people are going to rush into it without having a good head on their shoulders. Most people do. And it might have just sped up a few people's timeline and it gave them a little kick in the pants, and it didn't let them dilly-dally and like, oh, maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be somebody else better out there. They were like, you know what? Enough of this. I want to be married. I want to move on. I like you. There's enough here. Let's build a life together. So I think for some people, and it wasn't a romantic notion necessarily. I think for some people, it was a very practical one. I need to get married. I am extremely motivated to find my person and I want to do this now. And so they pushed to find that person and they found somebody that aligned with them enough. You know, was there romance in the air? Maybe. There were some couples that went to chuppah, and I know that some families were very concerned about the situation. And I think in about a year, 6 months, a year, 2 years, we'll have the results. You know, how many COVID marriages were just a bad idea and people jumped in only to jump out? And how many of them were a tremendous blessing? And thank God there was COVID, because they needed a push. And this was the push. This was what motivated them to find a partner and to get on with their life.
Okay, good. So what do you think is going to stay? And what do you think should stay when hopefully this all disappears around us?
I think that people are going to be dating more virtually. I think that people realize the whole world is open to me and in terms of video and connecting with people. And then at the same time, they're like, but the country might be closed, right? I might not be able to fly there. So the whole world is open. I can date. There's so many places I can look. And the technology developed, right? We saw Zoom explode and there were dating Zoom rooms and tons of things that happening. So I think as much as we're going to go back to in-person events and there's going to be a lot of things that are happening in person, I think that online is going to stick and there's going to be many more online opportunities because people found a certain comfort in not having to make so much of an effort. And going to an event is a really big effort. But sitting with my pajama bottoms on with, you know, half being on Zoom and half being comfortable, 1,000 times better. And if I look around my Zoom room, you know, I can click, click, click and swipe people's faces and see who I want to get to know. And I don't have to awkwardly walk around a room. And for anybody who is socially uncomfortable, like all of the introverts, they're like, oh, this is better. This is so, like the introverts, you know, thrive during this time.
This is their moment. This is their moment.
This is their moment. Yeah. And all the extroverts are like, please, I need in-person events. I can't take it anymore.
So let me ask you this, and this will be my last question. If there's anything else you'd like to share, I'd love to hear it. But from the Shadchan's perspective, I know you do a lot of that too, and you coach matchmakers. So they're doing a lot of meeting of singles online as well, virtually, where probably, I guess they could have done this in the past, but it probably was not as popular. To what extent is there an increased margin of error now that the Shanchan only gets a two-dimensional view of the boy or girl, the subject, right? They're only getting this Zoom perspective. To what extent do you think they're also missing out on that keen insight that they usually use to make matches? Like, how does that affect Shadchanas?
So Shadchanam, I've found, they often talk to people over the phone. They're in general, not always, but many of them are very intuitive. They understand people. I've heard people say, like, look, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. As soon as they start talking, I get a feel for them. Even if it's not video, I get a sense of like the essence of who they are. I mean, I know all the details, but I can really read people. I think a lot of Shadchanam are in that category. And moving to virtual dating, so I think they actually got a better picture of people, because when they would meet out of town people, they maybe only used to meet by telephone. And Zoom became so normal that they got at least a visual of the person in real time talking to them. And so I think Zoom and virtual dating helped them because it normalized it. Any of the Shadchanam that were like, oh, I only use the phone and, you know, don't send me, just send an email, no text and no video and no nothing. They all learned how to use video. They all learned how to be connected virtually. So I think that actually a lot of people got more out of it. But yes, there's a margin of error if you are not meeting people, if you're not seeing them. Shadchanam also know families though, right? So there's more to it. I think there's a margin of error, but I think that video actually helped Shadchanam and it gave them a leg up.
Okay, great. So any last thoughts, advice, tips, you know, what would be the bumper sticker that is derived from your book, advice and guidance for people who are navigating dating in this virtual world?
Now is the moment for everybody to find everybody. I found that men and women are more motivated today than I've seen in the last 5-10 years. Because everything shut down and everybody had to be alone, it helped us to create this craving and this desire to have our partner. And as much as everybody had it before, it is very strong now. And I would say even more so for men, because I think in general, women tend to be ready sooner and they're looking for that relationship. And men take their time, not all of them, but some of them, and they look around a little bit more and they're a little more patient with the process. But now many men are much more motivated. They're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this singles thing. I'm done with those events. You know, like, thank, I got to refresh, right? I got to reset. I just want to find my person. Yeah, and I just want to do it as.
I guess you could say they're done with social distancing. They're done. They want to find somebody. They want to be together. Okay. That's great. Yeah. That's great. That's so helpful. I think I'd point people towards your book, Virtual Dating, Guides to Relationships in a Socially Distanced World. Where could people find that?
It is available on Amazon.
Okay. So that's all anybody ever needs, right? So listen, thank you for your time. Thank you for your time. For the record, this podcast was done virtually, but I think we got everything we need. And thank you so much for your help. And thank you all who are listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you to our gracious host and guests this evening. Please email us at yuconnects@yu.edu to suggest future dating and relationship building topics and guests for your enjoyment. Candidate at YU Connects.